Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Mahoney, I've got to say, you've got a very tropical-looking shirt on today, and that sets the tone. Today is going to be a good day here at the Dave Mahoney Morning Show.
This was a gift from my mother.
Was it? It was a birthday gift, perhaps?
Actually, this is a Christmas gift.
A Christmas gift? And it's just, is it making its debut today? Yeah, I don't think I've seen that one before.
It was hiding in my closet. So it got pushed back between a couple of shirts while I was organizing, and I was going through my stuff today, and I was like, oh, yeah,
Well, what a surprise.
Wear this today.
Well, it's lovely.
Well, thank you.
You could do with button and one more button up top there. You're starting to get a little...
Let's go.
Now stop it. What are you doing?
Come on.
No.
Yeah, just like let the chest hair...
Oh, God.
Quad.
It's a quad. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Blow it out, you know.
Does your chest have dandruff? What happened there?
Oh, I don't think so.
Healing.
That's not dandruff. It's psoriasis, my friend.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Even sexier.
It is.
All right. Some good news and some bad news to start the show today. What would you like first?
Why don't we start with some bad news today?
This is rough. A woman and her family went to an air show last weekend and got canceled due to high winds, which is unfortunate, right?
Not safe, you know, for the pilots, not safe for the crowd. We've seen some pretty horrible things at air shows over the years.
And the woman, whose name is Cecilia, she left feeling disgusted and humiliated after what was supposed to be a memorable event with her boyfriend's family, who were visiting from Germany.
Okay.
And it's not just because the air show was canceled. It's because she had gone to the restroom in a porta potty.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. And again, circling back to why the air show was canceled.
High winds?
Yeah. I felt the wind move it a little bit, and as soon as I was trying to sit, the whole thing just went on my back, and the door was facing downwards. I could feel all of the water and everything falling on me. It was gross, she recalled.
That ain't water.
Yeah.
That ain't water.
Her boyfriend and his father scrambled to hoist it up enough for her to crawl out, but it was a mess. My hair had toilet paper in it. Blue water, pee water. Oh. I saw some needles in there. It was gross, she added.
As soon as I was trying to sit, the whole thing just went on my back. The door facing downwards, and I'm actually sleeping on it, and I could feel all the water and everything falling on me. Oh, my gosh. I was stinking like crazy. I was a mess. My hair had some toilet paper in it. I had blue water, pee water. I saw some needles there. Oh, I had like almost 2 hours shower. I was in the shower for the longest time.
A 2 hour shower. Have you ever been that dirty where you've had to take a 2 hour shower? Never. Never. Give me 11 minutes in the shower, no matter what I've been doing. I'll be fine.
I just don't know why you would go to the news with this. Right?
Like, she's got to be like trying to sue him, right? The event organizers.
Got to be.
Ugh.
But
otherwise, also, you're like, just keep it to yourself.
But also, man, even if you are, like, you're not physically harmed.
Well, you could be. I mean, you could get all sorts of stuff.
There were needles in there. Yeah.
She's not. She's talking just fine to the news.
Well, it's not like it would instantly happen. I mean, what if she got Hep A through Z?
Yeah. I mean, who knows if she didn't have that beforehand.
Oh, look at you.
You know?
The victim shaming continues.
All I'm saying is if I'm in a porta potty that gets tipped over due to high winds, I'm not going on the news to do an interview about it.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
let everyone know that I'm the porta potty chick, right?
Guess what happens as soon as you Google her name? What was her name?
Cecilia.
Cecilia, and I don't even want to try the last name. It's M-W-A-L Yoga.
Okay.
Mawal Yoga.
My guess is there aren't a lot of those people around.
There's probably exactly one Cecilia Mawal Yoga. Yeah.
Yeah. And you Google her name, that's what comes up. And I'm like, I'm not hiring her.
You wouldn't hire her? What are you talking about? She was in a porta potty that tipped over.
I mean, I know how to use porta potties. You know how to use porta potties.
Oh, my God.
I've never been in a porta potty that's tipped over.
You're the worst.
I've used a porta potty in high winds.
Can you imagine if Mahoney was your boyfriend and this happened to you? Like, how awful that would be? What's wrong, idiot? You don't know how to use a porta potty?
No, I would just leave immediately.
Also, like, do you get hosed off on the scene, or do you?
You don't get in your car.
You don't get the car.
You
got to
torch the car if you get in the car after that. Like, you probably should just shave your head too.
So, some good news today: a team of engineers at a university in Portugal have come up with a new fabric that smells better the more you sweat.
How does that work?
They were able to modify regular cotton so it lets off this citronella scent when it comes in contact with the acid in your sweat molecules.
Isn't that what scares away bugs? Don't you like citronella candles?
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny that you say that because it's not clear exactly why they picked citronella or if they'll be able to smell it or not. The weirdest part, though, is that it was, there's a specific protein found in the noses of pigs that binds that scent molecules, and the bonus is that citronella is an insect repellent. Mm-hmm. So your clothes made of that fabric, you wouldn't have to use as much or maybe even any bug spray in order to keep them away. There's no word yet on if they'll be able to buy clothes made out of it just yet, because it's still pretty early on, mm-hmm. but they think this could be a big breakthrough.
Is this the biggest thing since Velcro, Dave? I mean, has there been a better fabric since Velcro? Can you think of one?
I'm trying to think.
I mean, Hypercolor t-shirts were pretty awesome.
Oh,
does that
count?
No, they weren't. They worked like one time, then you washed them, and then they turned to garbage. They all turned pink.
But that one time, whoo, look out.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I'm gonna make a flip-off sign on your shirt. we're going to walk around. You're going to be badass.
The middle finger, you get it? Take that, society. So dumb.
Your mom paid $30 for that shirt, you clown.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Mahoney, genuine question here. I'm a man of larger size. I'm curious, again, how was it that you lost all your weight last year? Because I could stick to it probably longer than you could, because I need to. But I'm genuinely curious. How did you do it, Mahoney, please? Just wondering.
Message deleted.
It was 2 years ago, right?
It was 2017.
2017 when you lost all the weight?
2017, yeah. So 2018 was a fat year.
And 2019.
It's not over yet.
It's not over. Still plenty of time. Plenty of time.
You know, like just letting this one ease out. It's like getting comfortable in your jeans.
You're a second half guy.
That's right. Yeah. This is sorry, Atlanta. Tom Brady's rolling all over you. I walk.
Right now, 2019 is up against on you 28-3. But
yeah.
You're coming back, baby.
Oh, let's see. That sounds about right. 283?
283. Somewhere in there.
Not quite that heavy. It's portion control. It's like I went vegetarian for a good portion of that, which helped because it cut down. I stopped eating fast food at that point.
Yeah, the ovo-lacto vegetarian thing, which I think more than anything probably just really helped you watch what you were eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, made you think about it.
90% of it is it cuts down on the impulse eating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm not going to go just to McDonald's and get fries, you know.
Yeah.
Like now, I would go, I'd get fries, and I'd get a quarter pounder, and I'd get a nugget. You know, because I want to
look. Nuggets are good.
They are
some driving nuggets.
Driving nuggets, exactly. That and walking 5 miles a day.
Yeah.
You know, the combination of those two. You cut
and
secretly, cut your calories and you move.
Secretly training in mixed martial arts to try to take me down, you son of a bitch.
No, actually, I lost all the weight before that ever happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I gained weight from the training.
Come at me like that.
You
gained muscle?
No.
Didn't feel it?
No. Please leave a message after the
I stopped. I started eating again.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
Good morning. I'm about to embark on a week-long family vacation with a long drive. What are your worst childhood vacation stories? All right, thanks.
Message deleted.
We didn't do a ton of vacations when I was a kid because there's six of us, and also like we grew up on a lake.
Yeah.
So, kind of felt vacation-y during the summer. You didn't really have to go anywhere for that.
Yeah, if you're in Minnesota during the summer, why would you want to go anywhere else?
It's perfect, right?
Like, that's the one time, like, you go on, like, winter, go on a winter vacation.
Yeah, like, leave in the middle of the winter and go somewhere warm. But
go to Florida or something.
That also wasn't happening. For me, can you imagine, like, trying to drive somewhere, and you're certainly not going to buy 8 plane tickets to go somewhere. It's just not worth it.
It's insane, yeah.
But yeah, I do remember distinctly one time that we went on a vacation when I was a pretty young kid. I want to say I was probably 5 years old, 6 years old, to like a summer camp with the family. And I remember I locked myself in the cooler. It was before they had the standard emergency button get out of like the big walk-in coolers in a kitchen. And I snuck in there.
Why would you sneak in there?
To eat Jell-O.
Okay.
There was green Jell-O that I knew was in there. And, you know, I was a little kid. And so I was like, I'm going to go get that Jell-O.
I feel like green's the worst flavor of Jell-O.
Look, I didn't have access to a lot of Jell-O when I was a kid either.
Maybe yellow might be slightly worse.
Yeah, yellow's definitely worse, yeah.
Slightly
green,
worse.
Green's not bad.
Why is anything but red?
Or orange. Red, orange is good.
Orange's all right.
Yeah. Anyway, so I snuck in there, and I just remember hearing the door shut, and I was like, oh. And I distinctly remember doing jumping jacks to keep warm and just eating as much Jell-O as I could until my dad found me.
This is going
to
be it. I'm going out with this Jell-O. Yeah. We would take road trips almost every year, and a couple of road trips. I mean, I lived in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So we would drive out west to Las Vegas and then go further on to
San Clemente.
It's a real long drive with a young kid, like an 8 to 10-year-old.
You're talking, what, probably 15 hours in the car?
Oh, what are you talking about? That's a two-day drive almost.
Is it? Okay.
I mean, it's like 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, from there to, from St. Louis to Las Vegas, but more like 2 days. We had this old Volvo that, ran fine, but like the air conditioning didn't really work that well. And in the middle of the summer, you're just driving through New Mexico or Las Vegas.
You leave all this awful humidity in the Midwest, and then you just get to the scorching desert heat.
And it had like leather seats or pleather or vinyl. I don't know. Maybe it was vinyl back in like the late 80s, early 90s.
Your little boy legs just sticking.
Oh, God.
And of course, you were wearing the short shorts.
And one time we brought our ferrets with us. We had a bunch of ferrets.
You're such white trash.
How dare you. Ferrets, they were lovable animals.
Car full of ferrets. Gross.
Bandit, Brutus, and Bonnie were great friends.
Ugh. Bet you had jorts on, a little mullet. A little Mahoney mullet just flapping in the breeze.
Joe
Dirt.
I never had the mullet, but I did have a rat tail.
Even
worse, man.
I thought it was the 80s.
God, you trash bucket.
Listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Don't be mad that your parents wouldn't let you have a rat tail. My parents love me.
They wouldn't, actually. I wanted one. They were pretty cool back in the day.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news. What's the matter?
So there's a lot of talk about all these different companies using artificial intelligence and in many cases using it against consumers and against people like us, which can be pretty frustrating. However, this is an exceptional use of artificial intelligence that actually benefits us, and it's not just being used to steal our information or to spy on us or whatever. Maybe.
What is AI being used for that's going to change the way we live?
It can spot an irregular heartbeat from a scan that takes 10 seconds to do. So, and they're saying that it's actually much more effective.
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
I got that kind of time.
It's actually much more effective than even a doctor listening to your heartbeat with a stethoscope. They're saying researchers at the Mayo Clinic, which is one of the best in the world in Rochester, Minnesota, trained an AI model to detect the signature of your heart rhythm, and they put it to the test, and the test was able to accurately spot an unusual heart rhythm 83% of the time, according to the study, and that can directly affect the risk of stroke, heart failure, things like that that often go undetected because patients' hearts go in and out of an abnormal rhythm.
I'm more of a Miracle Whip clinic kind of guy. Mayo, nah.
Not for you?
Not.
Yeah. A little too fatty?
A little too fatty.
Yeah. I'm watching that weight again.
No, this is great news. This is what technology should be used for.
Scientists also announcing a huge breakthrough when it comes to 3D heart printing. So U.S. scientists have successfully built functional heart parts out of collagen using a 3D bioprinter. A breakthrough, they say, that one day could create entire organs, which could save millions of people's lives.
I mean, this is great news for ex-girlfriends all across the land.
Not those type of organs, Mahoney.
No, I meant like all printing a heart.
Oh, whoops.
Not the other organ.
Gonna say we're totally useless now. It's a male species.
Yeah.
You can just print one slightly larger. Dang it.
We're not prepared. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. We are not ready to be able to print that sort of stuff.
So Camp Google gets bashed for leaving a huge carbon footprint. And the reason why is because of the way that they were presenting the whole thing. Like, you're Google. If you want to throw a ridiculous $20 million party, okay, go ahead. Fine. You're Google. You know, you have that kind of money. But they made it all about climate change. And so they had all these A-list celebrities coming in. They flew hundreds of guests around the world and treated them to the 3-day luxury at the Sicilian Seaside Resort. And, you know, again, Prince Harry, Harry Styles, Naomi Campbell, Bradley Cooper, Leonardo DiCaprio, just name a few. And then they're facing ridicule because the hypocrisy of the whole thing, like, you can't all get together by flying around the world on private jets and all these huge yachts and everything else, and then talk about how important it is to focus on climate change,
Dave,
once you get there.
We all, the people who need to focus and we really need to cut back are just the everybody else besides us, not the rich elite folk who will determine like what is acceptable and what is not on this planet. There was 140 something like private jets.
114 private jets.
Yeah.
Maseratis, and they're, you know, this resort is $903 a night. And so there's a lot of people that are mad at this. And, you know, part of it is I'm really mad at this just because I wasn't invited. But really, when it all comes down to it, it's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
So stop it.
Yeah.
Just throw a party and just don't make it about a cause. Just make it about it being a party, because that's what it was. Coldplay played at it.
Hell yeah, Coldplay. They did.
Well, I mean, Chris Martin, you know, he's an avid defender of.
He is woke.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he named his kid Apple.
So
if you forgot.
This is terrifying. I was just mentioning how, you know, artificial intelligence has improved our lives, of our lives. And you know, one of the things that you and I have talked about over the years that we really like is the Amazon Alexa and
like it. I'm more of a
You're more of an Apple HomePod guy.
Yeah. Even though
fancy
it's
son of a
not as good. Yeah. Better music, but less triggers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, the idea that, you know, like Ring cameras and everything else, you know, there's video cameras that you put up many times outside of your house, but also inside your house.
I've got Ring cameras. Yeah. We like them.
Well, this is the terrifying part. Firmer is reporting that 77% increase has come from the government sending subpoenas for information on Alexa, Kindle, Ring, and more in just the last 6 months.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So now the U.S. government wants customer data, and they are shooting subpoenas over to Amazon in order to get this stuff. 35% increase in the number of search warrants as well. So a 14% increase in subpoenas, and again, 35% increase in the number of search warrants. So pretty terrifying stuff. A 77% uptick total number of subpoena requests in just the last 6 months.
You know, one of the things that we feel like we have a right to, but we do not, you know, at least constitutionally, we do not have a right to privacy. That needs to change. The government needs to grant we as citizens the right, you know, like who doesn't want more privacy in their life?
Do you not have the right to privacy?
There is nothing in the Constitution that gives you the right to privacy.
What about privacy in your own home?
There's the right to illegal search and seizure.
Right.
But when it comes to like a company that you bring into your house, like Amazon or Apple or Google, they all do it. And they are saying, you know, they're pulling this audio off of your home smart device or your Ring camera or whatever it may
be. Your Alexa in your house. Yeah,
you do not have a constitutional right for that.
Yeah, that needs to change.
It's crazy to me. And why don't we just be honest now? If they're saying that, you know, we're pulling this information off of these smart speakers, just tell us that our phone's listening to us as well.
Because
we know it is.
Yeah.
We know it is. Like, we can sit here and pick something that none of us have ever Googled, and it's going to pop up in all of our ads. Like, what random thing today?
No, so there's a guy that I follow on social media, and he said that he was walking down the street the other day talking to a friend, and she's got a wiener dog.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how the wiener dog's back is hurt because it's a wiener dog.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes when they get heavier in the center, like, it can affect their spine.
Yeah.
He got an ad on Instagram.
For the doc ramp?
For the doc back brace.
Oh.
You're like, of course, I've never Googled a wiener dog back brace before. So, like, how on earth would you know that?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's because you're listening to me. And finally, Chick-fil-A has replaced In-N-Out as the nation's favorite fast food restaurant in a customer satisfaction survey.
I
totally agree. Yes, Chick-fil-A, superior to any other fast food restaurant in customer service, in consistency, and in overall taste, I would say.
They do the two-line system better than anybody. I don't ever get, like, there's never a time where I go to Chick-fil-A where the line is too long, because they get through that line so quick.
Whoever invented the Chick-fil-A checkout line?
Well, they
have
two people out there, and they've got, like, a third dude, like, overseeing everybody.
Why can't the government hire them to run the DMV?
Yeah.
Like, that would solve all of the problems.
And we can get tasty chicken sandwiches.
Hell yeah, give me some waffle fries while I get my updated driver's license.
That's
Thank
right.
you very much.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
That Chick-fil-A sauce.
Legit.
Drink that stuff, man. You ever feel really gluttonous when you're just taking a whole sandwich and just dipping it right in there?
No, that's what it was meant to do.
I don't know. It came with the nuggets.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right, Mahoney, it's time to grade ourselves. How do you think we did this week?
I think we did all right.
Do you remember a lot of outstanding screw-ups?
From you, yes. All of them.
From me?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, me? No. I was pretty damn near close to perfect, you know? I mean, you don't see a whole lot of perfect games in baseball, but occasionally you do, and you see a lot of ones that come real close, and I feel like that's basically... I almost threw a perfect game this week.
Ian, can you confirm that Mahoney threw a perfect game this week?
Ooh, I wouldn't call it perfect, but he threw a game... I guess.
Oh, you're saying I'm Pete Rose?
It's the... That's the blooper reel.
Who hasn't, like, boated around a Caribbean country with machine guns before, you know? Let he who is without sin throw the first stone. Let he who is without sin throw the first stone.
Three people were wearing hoodies, pulled up to the store, smashed the window through the three mannequins wearing the clothes, including shoes and bags, into the back of an SUV, and took off through the three mannequins wearing the clothes, including shoes and bags, into the back of an SUV.
They weren't even using real guns. They were BB guns. Avoid this place at all costs.
Not costs. Cost. At all costs.
Avoid this place at all costs.
Wise words coming up, sponsored by Kazam.com, by Party City. Next party, why make things complicated? Go to Kazam.com, brought to you by the experts at Party City. Go to Kazam.com.
You're always like, well, what if?
What if?
What if? What if? What if?
And like how mad you would be
if it hit?
Didn't. Have the $5 side bet in a hit for $1 million.
If it hit.
Didn't have the $5 side bet in a hit for $1 million side bet. The back of an SUV.
Let he who is without sin don't throw the first stone.
Side bet.
Avoid this place at all costs.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Ian, you are a real son of a bitch. You know that?
Why do you say that?
How dare you put in there that one from the Karen Chronicles? That's how she wrote it.
No, it was not, Dave.
Absolutely it
Dave,
was.
Dave, it was not.
At all costs. Go back and look at it.
It was cost, Dave.
No, it was
it
not.
It was cost.
No, she wrote it wrong,
Dave,
which is why
Dave,
I read it like
don't justify
that.
The blooper. It's okay,
I'm
man.
Not
Dave,
justifying
okay.
the blooper. I'm just saying
it's
that's how
okay,
she wrote it.
Dave.
You're a son of a bitch! I screwed up.
It's top stories.
Here's what's making news.
I have a list here of the most stolen cars in the United States, as well as a list of the least frequently stolen cars, models between 2016 and 2018. So we're talking about
newer cars,
right?
Yeah.
The most stolen car in the United States, a Dodge Charger.
Really?
Yep. Number two, a Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat.
No way.
Yeah.
There's not. How many SRT Hellcats are there?
I know.
Aren't those the ones with like 700 horsepower?
Yeah, they're crazy, right?
And also they get like, though we did watch, I did get trapped into a LA like helicopter chase where they were chasing a Dodge Charger and a Hellcat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he outran them.
Oh, yeah.
He outran the helicopters.
Yeah, those things are awesome.
But they caught him because he ran out of gas.
You idiot.
Later on.
Number three, an Infiniti QX50, a four-door. So that's like the smaller SUV. It's not the giant one.
Okay.
The Infiniti QX80 is right behind it, also in the top five at number four. My wife used to have one of those. I wish it would have gotten stolen. It was a real piece of crap.
Did you hate that thing?
Oh, it drank gasoline. So many problems with it. I thought it sucked.
Yeah.
And then number five is the GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab.
Really?
Yeah.
Work truck.
Work truck is up there as well.
I'm surprised that there's no Hondas or Toyotas in there because those used to always top all of these lists. It was always the Honda Accord was always the most stolen car in America for decades.
There is no Honda or Toyota even in the top 20.
Really? Is that because nobody...
Six of the top 20... Let's see, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the top 20 are Dodges.
I mean, I get that the Challenger and the Charger, you know, especially the Challenger, like, you know, that's a pretty cool looking car.
But I mean, the Dodge Durango?
The new Durangos are pretty nice.
Yeah, sure, they're fine.
But the old ones are
garbage. The old ones look like trash. I guess this is 2016 to 2018, so I guess that makes sense.
So what are the least stolen cars?
The least stolen cars.
That list, like, really, I wouldn't
shocking,
have picked
right?
these. I wouldn't have picked a single one of those cars on there. Not one. I would have guessed, like, maybe an F-150 because there's a lot of F-150s out there.
Yeah.
I would even a Camry just because sure. there's so many Camrys.
Number six for the least stolen cars, a Subaru Legacy. Because of course it was.
Dude, Subarus are great cars, though. My mom's got a Subaru.
They're great. They're
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah.
But you never go, okay, there's a bunch of valuable electronics in here. You're going to find some chapstick and a half-drank coffee in every Subaru.
You might find those walking sticks.
Maybe some walking sticks.
About?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You got to do some walking.
Number four, a Chevy Equinox four-wheel drive.
Okay.
And then, not surprising, I guess, number three and number two for the least stolen cars, a Tesla Model X and a Tesla Model S. And I think it's just because they're a little bit more tricky to figure out. And
open the door.
Yeah.
You got to have the key fob and the thing shoot out.
Good anti-theft, all of that. And also, just when you get in, you're like, what do you do?
Where do you charge it?
Yeah, like, do you pull over at your local green mall and charge your stolen Tesla before you split out of town? And then number one, this really surprised me, a BMW 3 Series 4-door.
Really?
The least stolen car. You'd think a BMW would be kind of a hot commodity. Also maybe surprising, totally unrelated to what I was just talking about with the cars, Metallica has saved a woman and her dog from a mountain lion attack.
What, was James Hetfield? Was he walking with some of those walking sticks?
Some of those walking sticks, yeah.
From his Subaru.
Yeah.
So how did Metallica?
Out, this lady, Dee Gallant, is out with her dog, Murphy, and they were in British Columbia, Vancouver Island. They spotted a mountain lion sizing them up for lunch. Gallant said that she had her own little bag of tricks to try to scare it off. By like yelling at it and doing all the things that, you know, she had studied in the past about how you're supposed to, you know, stay locked on the animal and, you know, wave your arms and yell and scream and all that stuff to make yourself appear bigger. And none of that stuff works. So she said that she thought, okay, well, the next best thing is to look on her phone and find the noisiest song on her playlist. And she settled on Metallica's Don't Tread on Me. And she just
lots of eye contact with that coupe.
And sure enough, it works.
This is a slow build. I would have probably gone with like Stone Cold Crazy, where you kick off like real quick.
Yeah,
you know?
Like we're 20 seconds into this intro, and you can just see like the cougar like strutting towards her, like, I'm going to eat your face off,
This
lady.
Is the intro for the cougar to walk down and eat you.
Yeah.
What a death play.
Hang on a second. If one of these ladies gets out of one of those Subarus with the walking sticks and starts coming at you with a... I'm running too, man. I'm out of there.
Nah, throw Enter Sandman on. At least he'd be like, oh, boy, Brock Lesnar around?
Brock Lesnar really screwed up by changing Enter Sandman as his walkout song.
Yeah, that was the bet.
That was the end of him.
I don't think we'll ever see him in the UFC again.
That's fine by me.
It's a damn shame. So, I wanted DC to get a big payday, man.
I wanted John Jones to whoop his ass.
Nah, that wouldn't happen.
Yes, it would.
Nah,
it would. So it couldn't have been Tupac. It couldn't have been Elvis. No, John Dillinger is the one that supposedly has faked his death.
When did he supposedly die?
He was a gangster back in the 30s,
yeah,
and he
yeah.
died in 1934,
like
I guess.
Did the FBI shoot him or something?
Yep, outside the Biograph Theater in Chicago.
Yep.
I don't think the FBI is doing anything.
He was coming out of a movie.
To fake, you know, to fake somebody's death, at least back in the 30s.
They have, I guess, exhumed his body. A&E Network said Tuesday they plan to exhume part of his body and do a documentary on Dillinger on the History Channel to try to figure out who was really buried in his grave. So they're going to do DNA testing and forensic analysis, try to figure out if it was actually him that was buried in this spot. But it's entirely possible it wasn't actually him. And Ian told me a little fun fact about John Dillinger. Supposedly, when he died and got gunned down by these FBI agents, that when he had passed, he let's just say rigor mortis set in one particular spot. Bing!
Good for you, John Dillinger.
Yeah, right?
Hey, very
lucky man. Gangster indeed.
Very lucky man.
Yeah. Had no idea, but I mean, I guess it's interesting. It's also kind of creepy,
care?
Like not really. Like he's dead either way, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was old in 1930.
Yeah. And finally, a trophy wife is no longer a thing, according to a lot of people. Tattler Magazine has declared the old school trophy wife is dead, and today's super rich bachelors are now seeking a feminist with an education first, a high flying career of their own, and several charitable foundations. And they cited Meghan Markle and Amal Clooney as the examples. But it's not just about just having some hot chick by your side. You want somebody who's also a power player so you can be a super couple.
Super couple, a power couple. I mean, the term trophy wife is certainly antiquated.
Yeah.
You know, but I also call shenanigans on a lot of this because there's a lot of dudes out there who make their way to the top of the business world because they're insane sociopaths.
Yeah.
And they don't care who they hurt, and they want somebody who they can control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I think this seems like the woke. This is what it should be.
Yeah.
But do I think those guys that, on Wall Street who are just pillaging this country? Or want somebody who's
going to challenge them?
Yeah. No, they don't.
No, they
shut
don't.
Shut up.
Yeah, if you have like a law degree, it's a little too threatening.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So do you have a guilt complex about things? When you have to do something or ask for something, whether it's a favor or something just in return, do you feel bad about it even if you're totally entitled to it?
There are lots of things that I am even paying for, and I don't know if this just makes me. I don't want to be perceived as like a jerk,
right?
When I'm somewhere, even if I'm paying for something, because I think even if you're paying for something, it doesn't entitle you to be a jerk. So I try to go above and beyond when I'm getting services done for me.
Amy said, anything at a restaurant, if I need extra sauce or if there's something wrong with my meal, I always feel so bad about bothering the server, I'll just suffer in silence.
It's a delicate balance that you play out when you're trying to, if your food is done wrong. Like, you and I have gone to a couple places that, you know, should be pretty good, or they are pretty good, but their steaks come out well overdone.
And that's the one thing that's not acceptable. Like, if there's a side dish that isn't good, whatever. But if you're paying $50 or $60 at like a nice steakhouse, and you know, this is like a dinner that you've been looking forward to, it's, you know, you're splurging, right?
Yeah.
And it comes out, and you, like, I order my steaks rare. And if it comes out medium well, like that, it's going back.
Well,
that's the only thing I'll complain about.
I'm a medium rare guy, and if it goes too rare, I'm fine. Like, I'm okay with it being rarer than what it should be. But if it gets into that medium well section, it's ruined.
It's
because
ruined.
It completely changes the dish.
Yep.
And I'll take it even. You and I both work. You worked at Outback. I worked at a Lone Star Steakhouse and Saloon, which are, you know, nice chain, you know, restaurants.
Fine.
But you get a steak for $20.
Yeah.
They could get it right the vast majority of the time. You know, in the years that I worked there, you know, I would say less than 1% of the steaks came back because they weren't cooked right.
Right.
Or the vast majority of them, people don't know how to order steaks.
Yeah.
That's the more steaks went back because people didn't know how to order. They didn't know what medium rare was, or they didn't know what medium well was. Which I like that they just basically just put pictures.
Put it right on the
point. Just point.
Which one do you want? Just point.
Just point.
Larissa said,
mark.
I hate asking my husband to do things for me. Like if I want to go out with my friends, for him to be able to handle the kids, to fix anything, etc. I always feel like he works so hard and is always doing work for other people, etc. that he deserves to have some R&R, even though he never does. He gets mad, too, when I do this. I just can't bring myself to do it. So he wants her to ask him so she can go out with her friends, but she feels bad about it.
That's a two-way street of good spouses.
Yeah, you guys are looking out for each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Mark said, I hate taking the last piece of something to the point where I won't, even if I really, really, really want it.
I completely agree with that one.
Really?
Yeah, especially if it's a communal thing. If you get the last piece, you're ending it. It ends at you. That's so embarrassing.
I feel like with my wife and I, that slowly degraded over, you know, the years that we've been together.
Yeah.
Where, like, at the beginning of the relationship, if there was one slice of pizza left or something.
Just leave it there?
Yeah, I'd be like, you have it. And she's like, no, you have it. I'd be like, no, you have it. And now, if there's one piece left, I'm like, you have it. And she's like, okay.
I eat the entire pizza before she has a chance.
But that's what happens too. Like if you're out, like I don't mind so much with my wife, you know, that's one thing, but it's when you're with like a mixed company of like friends or whatever, or even, you know, like maybe work acquaintances.
Yeah.
And but then that like one shrimp or whatever, that one piece of appetizer, that one potato skin is going to just sit there and nobody's going to eat it. It's It's just kind of, it goes to waste.
The worst is when it's like that one last glistening wing and it just looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to be polite. You really want it. And someone's like, do you want that? And you're like, well, do you? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, go ahead. And then they actually take it.
Oh,
and you're like, you don't do it.
Dirty,
you son of a bitch.
Dirty bastard. How stab me in the back.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Pops upon your house.
It's too brute.
All right, so what do you have a guilt complex about? What do you feel bad about, even though you probably shouldn't? Text us at 73100. You can give us a call, 702-791-1075, or on social media, at Dave Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
What do you have a guilt complex about? You probably shouldn't, but you do anyhow. Kim said, asking for my stuff back, leaving a baking dish at someone's house, kiss it goodbye, and then look at it enviously when I visit again.
I can't, like, my house is so full of stuff, I can't wait to get stuff back to people. Like, if it comes to, like, baking dishes or Tupperware or, I do not need one more piece of Pyrex in my house.
Tiffany said what we were talking about earlier, asking people to move when I need to get up and use the restroom, either on a plane or in a movie theater. I just hold it until the plane lands or the movie is over.
There is a big ask, speaking of moving, if you ask one of your friends to help you move.
Yeah.
That is like, there is no chance. This is why many years ago I adopted the policy that I'm just going to save up enough money to hire movers to move all my stuff. And even then, I feel bad for the movers that I'm paying. And I always tip them like way extra because I'm like, I know how hard that work is that you're doing, even though you do it all day and you're pros and you can like do
That's
it.
That's what you do.
Yeah, it's 1,000 times. I still am like, this is, you know, moving chaise lounges and love seats all day long, I know is beating up your body.
Brian said, I feel guilty when I tell my son to stop asking so many questions. Then I feel bad and ask him to come back over and ask all the questions he wants because I realize there'll come a time where he won't talk to me as much. Which is true. Like, as a parent, like, if my 3-year-old is just a ball of energy and always asking a million questions and like wants to sit on my lap while I'm trying to do work. Like, I'm at the computer, like, working, and she's like, can I sit on your lap? And I'm like, yes. Because I know that one day she's not going to want to sit on my lap anymore, but it is so inconvenient to have a human on your lap while you're trying to type on a computer.
Well, it's better than a cat laying on a keyboard.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
That would be slightly more inconvenient.
Going to our text line at 73100. I'm Catholic. Guilt is a constant.
Amen.
This one, buying food or paying for a service and not having enough money to tip. I will feel bad if I don't tip, especially if they worked for it. I hate that. Like, when you look in your wallet, even if it's at a valet or something, you have $1 left because you gambled the rest away in the casino. You're like, oh, man. Yeah. I only have a dollar. What do I do?
I don't know, man. Like, it's that's a tough one. Don't I'm of the belief if you don't have the money to go out to eat and tip. You know, that's an expectation within this country.
I think that's different, though, right? I mean, if you go out to eat and you don't have enough money to tip, then, I mean, you should just order less, right?
Or, like I said, if you don't have enough money. Like, I mean, there's a difference. Like, I don't carry cash. You know, I never carry cash. But I will say, hey, charge me whatever. Give me a water and charge me for a water so I can tip you.
Yeah.
You know, like, go that route. Like, you got to go that route. But if you don't have enough money to tip, somebody's working hard for that money. Don't go out to eat. Go to the grocery store.
This one got texted over to us. What do I have anxiety about? Everything. I have anxiety, LOL. Andy said, I don't know if this applies in other cultures, but growing up in a Hispanic family as a kid, you were taught not to interrupt an adult if they were speaking to another person. I am 32 years old now and will sometimes wait for my turn to get a word in if there is somebody older than me and they are busy talking to someone else at the moment, despite me having an urgent question. Even at 32 still applies.
Well, I think that's just common courtesy.
That's respect, right? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think that will take you far. I mean, also, you know, you might never be able to get your question in because some people just are rude clowns who will just, no matter what you're talking about, they just butt in.
Yeah.
And they redirect the conversation back to them. But I think your parents, I don't know if it's as prevalent now as it was when we were growing up, and especially not when our parents were growing up. Like, think about your parents having to deal with your grandparents. Like, if you, like, made a peep, things were...
That's a whooping right there.
You are going to be grounded for a day.
What about the social anxiety? How about this one? Jeremy said, leaving a small gathering of people too early, but also worrying about overstaying my welcome.
That is a delicate balance.
You have to find that sweet spot.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
And when somebody else gets out there like, well, you're like, well, we should probably head on out too.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah.
Hit the road.
But you realize that when you're doing that, if it's a small, let's say it's eight people, and all of a sudden four go at the same time, you've really screwed up the whole dynamic of the party.
You've ruined it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to go to bed, man.
Yeah, man, I'm sleepy.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
I feel bad about asking people for money that they owe me. And I'm not the only one. So Brooke said, I have a hard time reminding people they owe me money, which is probably why there are so many people that owe me money. To be fair, I never expect to see that S back.
Do I owe you any money?
Yes, you owe me thousands of dollars.
I don't think about it.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Tens of thousands?
Do I owe you any money?
Where did I get tens of?
No, Ian, you don't owe me anything.
We're good? Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're squared up.
You say that. Well, what Mahoney does to square us up, and this is real, like he'll impulse buy stuff all of the time, and then he'll give it to me when he doesn't want it anymore.
That's not true.
To like erase the debt for things that
he
owes me.
Give it to you. I barter with you.
Yeah. So he'll owe me like hundreds of dollars for something, and he'll give me a used heavy bag that he had in his garage, and he's like, we're good.
Used? That was brand new. I never used that thing. What are you talking about?
Ian, you seem like you've got a guilt complex like no other.
Oh, yeah. I carry it around with me every single day. My biggest one, though, probably... I have really annoying neighbors. My upstairs neighbors are unbelievably loud. They're stomping all around. They're always yelling at each other, blaring music, and I can't find the courage just to go up there and tell them to quiet down.
Well, you're gonna get into a big argument.
Well, exactly. I don't want to let them into my life and tell them, hey, it's 8 o'clock. I really just want to go to bed right now, but I don't want to listen to your Kendrick Lamar just all the time.
Yeah.
So I just don't go up there. And I lose sleep over it. It's terrible.
Why don't you be really loud when you wake up at, 4 a.m.?
Because I don't want to be loud. I don't want to do anything that early. So
Have you thought about trying to get a higher apartment?
Yes. We actually have talked about changing apartments. And my girlfriend really wants me to leave a note. But I think that's even worse.
That's so passive aggressive.
Yeah, I'm like, nah,
so, oh, man. Somebody leaves a note.
No, yeah. You got to roll up there deep. Like, all three of us have to go up there and knock on the door.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to, but if
while
you're going to
this, getting out of a Subaru.
Senseless with those walking sticks that we got.
Yeah.
Are those three lesbians walking up here?
Yes, we are.
Those chicks are ugly, man.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So probably the biggest thing for me, if I had to choose one, is I feel bad about telling my wife if I'm like planning a guy's night or something, or like I want to do something with my friends, to the point where I end up not telling her
until
it's the day of, and then she gets mad.
I do the same thing.
I just don't want to tell her because like she is always working hard too with the kids and everything else, and so I wait till the last second and then I spring it on her, and then she gets mad because of course she does. But I do it every time.
Did you tell her about tonight?
Not yet. I hope she's listening. Love you, babe.
We'll see you at Jimmy Eat World.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, good morning, guys. I have one question for all three of you, Dave, Mahoney, Ian. What's your go-to hype song? I'd have to say for me, Kendrick Lamar, Mad City, or any Queen song. Yeah. Have a good morning. Let me know.
Message deleted.
Mahoney, do you have a hype song?
One of my favorites is Firestarter from The Prodigy, or excuse me, just Prodigy.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
You can just imagine Mahoney stretching, trying to reach his toes unsuccessfully.
If you think you're getting ready to, like, run, like, that hits it, that bass hits it right there.
Yeah.
Just running every time that bass hits
it's pretty strong. It's pretty strong.
Such a good song that you see, like, every action movie from, like, 1999 to 2004. They added to that because that bass hits and then it's another cut of the cameras.
For me, it's Breaking Benjamin, Polyamorous.
Really?
It's up there.
This song?
This part, yeah.
This gets you hyped.
Just imagine me on an elliptical, just, yeah.
Woo!
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that cardio in. Woo! Heart rate's getting up. 141 beats per minute.
Okay, I'll be right there. This is just, it just feels like kind of like butt rock at this point.
It kind of is butt rock.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I mean, yours was fire starter, you loser.
Prodigy's a very... That's not butt rock.
No, it's like busted EDM before EDM was cool.
When it was good.
Cool rave,
when it was good.
When it was good.
Stop.
For all these idiots co-opted it.
You call them idiots?
Yeah.
All right. It sounded like you put an SH on the front of it, which is a really funny thing to say.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I'm wondering if hole punchers really have any use anymore. I mean, should we completely stop the production of hole punches? Imagine the tens and tens of dollars our country would pay.
Message deleted.
Yeah, I can't think of the last time that I used a hole puncher.
What, elementary school? Yeah. Or not elementary school, high school probably, when you had a binder, you had to walk. That was pre-laptop computer, like, you know, or they were just, they existed, but they were too expensive.
The worst thing ever. Have you ever spilt a hole puncher before?
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh, my God. You're like, what do I do? How do I pick them up individually? Does anyone have a vacuum? Has a vacuum? Because it's always in an office setting.
Oh, yeah.
And so you don't know where to find, like. Does anyone know where to find a broom and or a vacuum around here?
I don't think we have a broom or a vacuum here. Maybe in the engineering closet?
They probably have one in the engineering closet that we're not allowed to go in.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the little rubber thing comes out, you know, and it's...
Yeah. Just everywhere, and then man. Just what a mess.
And then you find them for weeks on end.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that, like, some offices still probably have paper, like, if you have paper records, you're still using hole punches, right?
Yeah,
but there was
probably.
Nothing worse than when you were in school and you had your hole punched papers or binder, whatever, and then it's like... They would just keep getting ripped out.
Ripped out, oh, yeah.
And then so you had to, like, try to tape it and then hole punch the tape.
Or you'd have to make a different set of holes and the paper would be not in the right spot.
Centered, yeah. Holding on by one thread.
Hey, I'm wondering, guys, do you have any go-to lines for the generic questions that you get asked every day, like, how are you or what do you do? Anything that you just go to just to get that person off your back or a flippant remark?
Message deleted.
I don't have anything that I go to, you know, if somebody asks you how you're doing or whatever, but we used to work with a meteorologist, Nate the Great Tenenbaum.
Mm-hmm. Nate the Bomb Tenenbaum.
One of the finest meteorologists and broadcasters this fine city has ever seen.
And you'd ask him how he's doing. You're like, hey, man, how's it going? And he would always say every time, mostly sunny. Just like that.
I love it.
Mostly
it's
sunny.
Just such a F-U. He's such a nice guy, but it's such an F-U, and I love it so much.
It's like our engineer that works here, Tracy. Every time you go, hey, man, what's up? He goes, a lot. You're like, how you doing? I'll live. You grump.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
And if our radio show gets shut off at halfway through the program at some point today, you'll know why. Don't make fun of Tracy. He'll come at you. Tornado of arms and teeth and fingernails.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
Do you know who Julianne Hough is?
Yeah, from Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars, dated Ryan Seacrest for a while. Just came out in the September issue of Women's Health. The 31-year-old did a big spread in that magazine where she's basically totally naked, but, you know, covering the good bits.
Yeah.
She dropped a bombshell, though, about her sexuality. She said that she's not straight. She told the magazine it was awkward breaking the news to her husband about her sexuality. Quote, I told him, you know I'm not straight, right? And he was like, I'm sorry, what? She's like, I'm not straight, but I chose to be with you. She did not elaborate on which women she has dated, even though it's obvious. Ryan Seacrest. She added...
He's more petite and prettier than any other one out there.
She added, I think there's a safety with my husband now that I'm unpacking all of this. There's no fear of voicing things that I've been afraid to admit or that there's shame or guilt about it because of what I'm told or how I was raised. But she has never before admitted that she's been with women, but now she is.
So she's staying with her husband. It's staying not like she's leaving her husband going to go explore her sexuality. She's
already explored.
Yeah.
And she chose to be with him. So,
I mean, why is this a story, though?
I know.
Cool.
It's like everyone's so obsessed with everyone else's sex life.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
I don't care who you bang. I don't. I never will.
Yeah. Just as long as they're consenting and of age.
Right. And, cool. And odds are I don't want to see it. I mean, Julianne Hough.
Whatever.
Attractive young lady.
I don't know.
Katy Perry ordered to pay $550,000. She lost a lawsuit that she ripped off her song Dark Horse, which I'm sure you've heard. What's your mind?
What's your mind? Actually, I like this song. It's got a good beat. Yeah, I like that part right there, especially.
So
it's catchy.
There is a Christian rapper by the name of Flame. Anyone ever heard of Flame before?
I have not.
So there's a Christian rapper by the name of Flame, and he said that that song was ripped off from him, and so he should be entitled to some of the profits from that song. And a jury actually agreed. So Katy Perry is having to cough up $550,000 herself.
Do we have do we have audio of Flame's version that she allegedly ripped off?
His song is called Joyful Noise, all right? Okay. So let's have a listen to this, and you guys can tell me if you think that this is in fact a ripoff.
Chapter 1, Nifty Chaos.
I heard a lot of words that have tickled many ears. That's why I praise God for the word that we adhere. The word became flesh.
No.
Lived for 30 years.
It's similar, but it's way different. It's similar, but way different.
It's just kind of a similar beat.
Yes, it's like, so I looked into this because I'm very curious about a lot of these lawsuits that go on here. And it wasn't Katy Perry who made the beat. It was her producer, Dr. Luke. So I was reading about this, and they're not the same. It's like progression. It's beat progression. And so it's a very common thing in music. This is why you are attracted to these types of pieces of musical composition. This sets a really bad precedent. Like, that song doesn't sound anything like Katy Perry's song. What they did is they said, hey, here are the beats, A-A-A-B-B-C-C-D-D, and like one was different, and then another one was tuned down. But that creates enough of a difference, in my opinion. Nobody's listening to this Flame guy going, Katy Perry clearly ripped him off and profited. And you know what?
If
it's music, who cares?
Do you know how much that he's getting for this?
Like $2 million.
$2.7 million. So she has to cough up $550,000. $1.2 million is coming from her record label.
Good luck.
And then he also sued Dr. Luke and seven other songwriters.
They're going to appeal this, and I think it'll probably end up being settled, because you're not going, you know, when you have high powered attorneys who are representing Katy Perry and her music label, it costs them a lot of money. My guess is they will settle. This is not a clear cut case like Robin Thicke. And even the Robin Thicke case, in my opinion, was ridiculous. He's like, I want to make a song like this. Like, the words are way different.
Here's the part about this story that really annoys me. So this Christian rapper Flame said that his image and reputation were destroyed because he has a Christian music career that became associated with the anti-Christian imagery that was present in her music video.
Katy Perry was a Christian artist, if you don't remember. That's how she actually got her start.
Isn't her dad a pastor?
I don't know about that. But she got her start literally in Christian music. So this guy I'd
also
never heard of.
Flame. Like, did you really have an image to be destroyed?
No.
Does anyone care about Flame?
No. I know is I think that you're a giant douchebag now, that's for sure. But this sets a bad precedent for music creation. Like, if every beat has... Like, think about this. How many years of music have we on recorded?
Right.
You know, over 100 at this point now. Over 100 years of recorded music. There are a lot of very similar chords.
You don't own beats. You don't own tunes, you don't own chords, any of that stuff, because you can't.
There's a difference between sampling something and doing something similar. There's way different. You can't sample something. And even that, if you change it enough, I think that is creating your own form of art. It's just, it's the legal system should not be involved in this, like, blatant art.
Finally, Ninja is leaving Twitch, which is a big deal in the streaming world, and there's a whole lot of money involved in this. So he has been with Twitch, which is owned by Amazon, for a long time.
He's the biggest
streamer in the world. Yeah, and he's going to Microsoft and their Mixer platform, which is the biggest competitor.
I've never even heard of this until this.
Yeah, so he's moving over, and it's, you know, their biggest competitor, I guess, at the time. But, you know, you think that Microsoft and PC gamers, you know, will they be swayed by Ninja moving? Probably so.
Absolutely.
He's enormously popular. He's got 22 million subscribers on YouTube alone, and it's reported that he makes over $500,000 per month just from streaming.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's just from streaming, too. He also has huge endorsement deals with brands like Red Bull and everything else.
So there was the Apex came out a couple months ago now, and he played it for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And reportedly was paid $1 million to play this, to live stream this game for like a day on launch day.
That's so gross.
So they haven't reported the amount of money that it costs to bring him over to this Microsoft platform, but there are talks that is in the realm of like $10 million to make him exclusive over there, which, like, again, like most of us, like, don't really care about video stream, you know, video game streaming if you're, you know, if you're working a 9 to 5 every single day.
Right.
But the thing that interests me is the finances behind it, how much money is involved in the fact that he is making at least $500,000 streaming every single month, which way more than that. But the fact that he could be bringing in over $10 million to go over to Microsoft, that's the interesting part about it to me. That there's that much money involved in video games right now. The video game industry right now is bigger than the movie industry. Like, you see the amount of money that goes into a blockbuster like Grand Theft Auto has made billions of dollars.
When you're talking about those titles, you know, think about how many people buy that game and the fact that it's, you know, $60, $75, $80 per title, and people just run out, they wait in line.
Then you got the DLC, the microtransactions. Yeah. Yep. They are
raking it in.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
We screwed up, man. Should have stuck with Mario 3.
Do you think there's a niche out there for old guys playing Mario 3 who aren't very good at it?
Man, when I got that little tail, that sun could never get me.
Oh, I could fly through an entire Super Mario World. I'd just fly, once I got the cape, I'd fly through everything.
Done.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Super Troopers ain't catching me. I'm flying over all y'all.
But to answer your question, no, there is no market for that.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents The Internet is Awesome.
You know, before the internet, things would happen in this world and we just wouldn't know about it, Mahoney. Like, how on earth would we ever have been privy to the fact that there was a heavy metal knitting championship going on in Finland if it weren't for the internet?
Well, maybe if we were watching on a Sunday afternoon after football got over and the wild world of wackiness came on, we might be privy to it. Or maybe it would grace one of the greatest television shows ever to air in America's Funniest Home Videos, hosted by Bob Saget.
I like that you stuck with the Bob Saget.
Yes.
None of that Alfonso Ribeiro crap or
Tom
any of that.
Bergeron.
Oh, get out of here, Tom Bergeron.
Didn't Dave Coulier do it for like a minute?
No, Dave Coulier had his own. It was America's Funniest Home Videos.
Like, if you're Bob Saget and you're like, you're doing you're doing Family Matter, or not Family, what is it called?
Full House.
Full House. You're doing Full House with Dave Coulier, and then he starts doing the same show, but a ripoff?
It's a ripoff of yours, but his had the jackalope. You remember that? As fast as fast can be, you'll never catch me.
That was a different show.
It was a different show. An entirely different show.
But like, wouldn't you be pissed off if you're Bob Saget and be like, hey,
you're like, hey,
Dave,
man.
Like, I get that you...
First, Alanis dumps you.
he
dumped Alanis?
That's
is that what it was?
The song was about.
It ruins Jagged Little Pill for me. The fact that You Oughta Know was about Dave Coulier.
It makes it that much better.
I think it's better.
It's way worse. Like, it was so sexy before, and then I just think about Dave Coulier getting a...
We know.
In a theater. I'm like, oh, man, that glorious mullet.
He's got needs.
Anyway, so
man.
Back to the internet is awesome. The heavy metal knitting championship that went on in Finland. Again, like, there's something about Norway and Finland and Sweden and all of that. Like, when it comes to their music, they're pretty intense.
As ridiculous as it is, everyone's behind you and enjoying themselves and everyone's cheering and getting into it. Ridiculous, but it is so much fun. Everyone should do this.
Oh, it's a great release.
It's great. It is. It's really, yes. Knitting is such a meditative kind of activity, but now it's energetic and it's heart pumping.
When I say it's a heavy metal knitting championship, they're actually on stage knitting while the heavy metal music band is playing right behind them. That, you know, they look like they're Rammstein. You know, they have the face masks on. And
Rammstein.
Rammstein is the more proper way of saying it. It's the fancy way of saying it.
They're the fancier version.
So everyone is talking about Lion King, of course, crushing into the box office.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Going to be another billion-dollar movie for Disney. And pretty decent reviews from the crowd.
Well, one guy in Anderson, South Carolina, loves this particular song, which is iconic from the film. But what he has is a backup chorus to sing it.
And in that backup chorus, there's a donkey.
One very enthusiastic donkey at that.
Had to get all the animals around me for this one. Simba, whoa.
That is a talented ass.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Stop stories! Here's what's making news.
So news broke yesterday that Henderson, the city of Henderson, has been trying to steal the Arizona Diamondbacks away from Arizona. And hypothetically, that could happen because the stadium in Arizona, Chase Field, has been in disrepair for quite some time. And the locals are none too pleased about it. But more importantly, the team is not too pleased about it. And so the city of Henderson quietly put together a push in order to put together a big complex in the city of Henderson, which is right there kind of near where like the Raiders practice facility is going to be.
It's not like close old to Henderson. It's deeper western Henderson.
It's west Henderson, exactly.
When did Henderson become Trey Songz, Mr. Steal Yo Girl? Like, what are you trying to do? You know that they've got a relationship going on down there in Phoenix.
Yeah, but things aren't going well. Just letting them know, hey, we're available. You want to talk?
Like, why don't we find somebody who's unattached? Why don't we just go straight weird science and create our own?
I mean, that did work pretty well for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, it's working out pretty well.
But, I mean, there's lots of ins and outs that you have to deal with Major League Baseball. But the city of Henderson, put together this plan, and it's a $1 billion stadium. It's a $1 billion baseball stadium. It's got a retractable roof, everything else. But, they're talking about building an entire complex around it, which is one of the big things that the Arizona Diamondbacks really want. If you spend any time in Arizona at any of their stadiums, including the Arizona Cardinals Stadium, like they've now built something around it. But before all those bars and restaurants were there, it's just kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, just empty.
It's just there's nothing to do around it.
Well, and the land was cheap and they had a lot of land to build out there. So that was why that happened.
So the renderings show the retractable roof baseball stadium that has 32,000 seats in it that also has 4,000 standing room for standing room area for ticket holders as well. But they really wanted to put a whole bunch of money into this because they thought that they could get the Diamondbacks to come to Las Vegas and Henderson specifically. It would be a 30-year term for the tenant, and they estimated that it cost $1 billion to build this project. The stadium would be publicly owned and would be exempt from property tax.
I love that.
But guess who's paying for the stadium?
It'd be taxpayers.
It'd be taxpayer dollars.
But here's the thing. There's a difference between when the city owns the stadium, because then they get all the revenue from leasing it out and all the things that go around there. There's a lot more upsides for that to own if the community of Henderson decides that that's what they want for that particular community. We saw that down in Texas with NRG Stadium with the Texans down there. They own all that fairgrounds, and they make a whole lot of money.
Ton of money,
owning that particular land of property. I'm interested though that why even bother adding a retractable roof.
Just
dome it.
Like, what days are you really going to want to open during baseball season? I guess
later. Make the playoffs in October. There's hot ass days. Like, still, it's like, hey, let's kick on the AC. I still got the AC on in October in the house. Yeah. But I think about maybe if we do other events during the off season, which obviously if the city owns it, they would want to do as well. So interesting to see that they were going for this. But if that were to go in that part of town, I mean, the south that part of the city overall is growing exponentially right now, and it looks like it's going to be the next kind of big hot spot for people to be moving to.
Yeah, and interestingly, even if things don't materialize with the Diamondbacks, because it hasn't moved forward with them fully just yet, the city of Henderson would welcome conversations with other major league franchises that may be considering a move to a different market. So the city of Henderson said in a statement this week that they are interested in talking with whoever is interested in coming here.
Why don't we just build up Las Vegas, ballpark in Summerlin, build that thing up, because it's they built it so they could build upon it.
Well, but then the Aviators don't have anywhere to play.
No, and then we make the Aviators a pro team.
Oh.
I mean, like a Major League Baseball team. Okay. They're already a pro team, but I'm
saying. Yeah, no, it didn't work.
Let's get our own team, man.
We'd be the worst team in baseball if you just made all of our AAA players.
Well, no, we would get other. You do what you did with the Golden Knights too. You can draft
that
again.
Sounds like the plot to Major League right there. Actually,
I don't know. I don't hate it. I mean, the city of Henderson with the practice facility out there. You're talking about a baseball stadium. The Golden Knights are putting an arena out there as well. Practice facility.
Yep.
Henderson's doing big things, man. I think it's awesome.
Yep.
It's great.
One of the reason why it's considerably, you know, always consistently rated one of the best places in the country to live.
And I do think that, you know, that being fairly centrally located in an area that's pretty easy to get in and out of, the infrastructure around it's good.
Easy for us to get to.
Yeah, sure.
Which is all that matters to us.
No, but I mean,
we can be there in 20 minutes.
It's a straight shot down the 15, yeah. Even if you live in North Las Vegas, you know? It's not like buried somewhere in Deep Henderson where you're having to go through a bunch of surface streets. It's just a straight shot on the 15 down to St. Rose Parkway.
Northwest part of town, it's a little bit of a hole. Or Aliante, it's still kind of far.
But at least it's interstate heavy, you know? Okay. It's not like you're... It's like in the back of Anthem or something,
yeah.
You know?
No, I hear you.
So Mayor Goodman's house got burglarized. Who does this to the fine mayor of our city?
Do they have video? Was there any video surveillance released to these crooks?
Not yet. It was burglarized on Wednesday afternoon. Quote, nobody's hurt, just a lot of mess. Goodman says the intrusion at the home that she shares with her husband, Oscar Goodman, the former mayor. Police got called to the house 3:15 for the report of burglary, and no suspects taken into custody. As of yesterday afternoon, Gooden believes the burglars were watching the house, but nothing was stolen. It's quite a surprise, she said. It happened in a very quick timeline. They must have been watching the house.
My guess is probably not smart criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
I agree.
Like, if nothing was taken, and yeah, like, just what, you're just going to go, like, around?
Knock over a bunch of vases? Like, what's the point? I don't get it.
Vase, Dave. The Goodmans are classy. It's a vase.
It's a vase. I want to slap people that call it a buzz.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The sweet sounds of a laundromat.
Dirty Laundry.
So in Dirty Laundry, Ian will go out and he'll chat with people, ask them to reveal their secrets. And today we have a double feature for you. And the first one is going to feature a guy talking about some encounters that he's had during his life and, you know, working in different establishments. And I think, I'm not sure, Ian, correct me if I'm wrong, he kind of flubbed up at the end. Like he was admitting things to you, but then maybe admitted a little too much.
A little too much, which does happen sometimes when I'm interviewing people for Dirty Laundry.
They just disarm them.
Yeah, they catch themselves halfway through it, and they're like, "Oh crap, I can't believe it. You're going to put that on the radio." And that's when I run.
And the second one, the guy didn't reveal too much at all. He was just delighted to tell you this story.
Yes. Now, if I'm ever out and by chance, if I interview you for Dirty Laundry, don't give me your name. I don't want to know that much about you.
We don't need to know the name. We just want to hear the story.
Exactly.
Here's today's double feature of Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry.
I've met a friend. How are you?
Good. Very good. Very good. Very good.
You're looking for a can of chew, you were saying.
Yes.
Okay. Is that terrible for you?
No, it's not. When you really shut the hell out. You know what I'm saying?
I'm looking for something you've never told anybody before. What's a crazy story? Now, just to describe you real quick, you got a crazy paw print tattoo, you got the Joker here, a key, and then you got a couple teardrops. If you don't mind me asking, what are the teardrops symbolizing?
My family.
So what's something you've never told anybody before?
I used to work, be creepy at Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
Anything crazy happen over there? Do you ever have sex in the house?
Yes.
How many times?
Twice.
Are you still together with that person?
No, I'm not.
What happened?
He was,
Dirty Laundry.
My name, if you will.
I don't want to take your name, man. It's called Dirty Laundry. So I go around and I ask people for stuff they've never told anybody before. And you were even like, I don't care, give your name. So you got a bunch of crazy stories, don't you?
I do.
Please do me a favor, don't give your name. Okay. But what's your dirty laundry? What's something you've never told anybody before?
So when I was 16 years old, my mom and dad only bought one brand new car in the family history, right? I was 1984 Caprice Classic crushed velvet interior. So I'm 16 years old. My mom's drunk and wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and tells me to take her drunk girlfriend to the Skyline casino out in Henderson. Next thing you know, we're driving my mom and dad's brand new car, and next thing you know, her hand's on my leg. Next thing you know, her hand's on my next thing you know, I got her in the back seat of the car, not even 20 miles on this brand new car. What do I start doing? Puking. All over the front seat, down the dashboard.
So now you're married to her, right?
No, I wish. I ran away from home and parked the car in the driveway.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Puke on the crushed red velvet.
Oh, man. All down the dashboard, too. Oh, it's like, man. Come on.
Yep, go get a new
family.
It was
going to be an awesome night.
I mean, it still was.
Kind of was. Yeah.
He's been waiting for years to tell that story to somebody. And finally, Ian shows up, and we all get to enjoy it. Well done, man. Well, in today's Redneck Report, my friend, we have got ourselves a good one, including a young lady who thought it would be a great idea to film her husband because she wasn't feeling so well in the mornings when he was making her coffee. Okay. And you know what? She was absolutely right.
Uh-huh.
She should have been filming her husband. It turns out he was poisoning her, Mahoney.
What was he poisoning her with?
He was giving her medicine in her coffee to try to knock her out every day when he would make her morning coffee.
Oh my
so
God.
A Michigan man has been sentenced, and this is the crazy part, to only 60 days in prison for poisoning his wife, and he'll only serve that time on the weekends. He was sentenced on Wednesday after pleading guilty to a felony charge of poisoning under a plea deal. She set up a camera after every time that he would make her coffee. She didn't feel well. And so he was spiking her coffee with an overdose, basically, of an antihistamine medication.
But like Benadryl?
Yeah, to like try to take her out, which just seems stupid. Under the plea deal, he avoided a trial. If convicted, he could have faced up to 15 years in prison. But instead, I mean, obviously, they're getting a divorce now. But they were married for 22 years.
He just wanted to try to sleep through the day.
They have three kids together.
Oh my God.
Crazy, right?
I mean, so he wasn't trying to murder her, though. That's where...
No, it's just considered poisoning because you're over-medicating
you're
somebody.
You're slipping somebody medication but that like, they're what's, not
what's the point?
To.
Right?
Like, you're an Why adult. Do Benadryl yeah. doesn't make... It's not like a sleeping pill. We right. don't fall asleep. I could take 20 Benadryl right now and stay awake. My sinuses would be wide open.
Wide open. Ready
wide
to party.
Open.
Ready to party.
Yeah, ready to just...
What? So a rocket launcher is discovered at the Baltimore-Washington International Airport again for the second time this week. It's unbelievable this is the second time in just a couple of days after it was brought back on a military flight by a U.S. Air Force sergeant who just wanted to keep it as a commemorative item.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It was discovered at about 5:20 a.m. in the American Airlines baggage area at the airport located in Maryland. The office of the Marshall and Bomb Squad announced being flown to the U.S., the equipment was inspected by the U.S. military officials for safety and was empty of any explosive hazard, thankfully. And he just brought it home as a souvenir of their service abroad.
Well, I mean, maybe they were just handing out rocket launchers as you were going home. I mean, we heard the one
you know,
get a couple
of days launcher.
Ago.
You get a rocket launcher. Everybody gets a rocket launcher.
What would you rather have, a rocket launcher or a flamethrower?
Flamethrower.
Because think about how many spiders you could kill with Hell a flamethrower. Yeah.
Come in my house.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to burn the house down. But
Worth it.
Because I feel rocket launcher, single use.
A drug dealer has been jailed after he was caught in the act dealing drugs on his car's dashboard cam. What makes this funny is that it was his own dashboard cam.
Dang.
Scott Curtis, 45, was recorded saying that he sold gear as he conducted Class A drug deals in his yellow Ford Focus.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Look at him, man. Hello.
No, nobody's going to back into this and leave me on the line with my insurance company. Oh, no.
Police caught
Not
Curtis
no Bumblebee here.
Throwing small bags of cocaine and heroin out of his car window after they pulled him over last September.
Okay.
They found cannabis plants in his house during a search, but they came across the dashboard cam, and it contained 2 hours of footage showing some of his latest drug deals. Also, like, if you're a buyer from Scott Curtis, the 45-year-old, and he's like, hop on into my yellow Ford Focus. Let's do this deal. And you see that he's got a dashboard cam, wouldn't you be like, hey, shut that off.
Cop.
Definitely a cop, right?
Or, hey, why would you buy a yellow car?
What is wrong with you, man?
Drug dealer,
yeah,
man.
Like, it's
Go
the most
with silver
obvious.
Or white.
A maroon. A
black.
A beige.
Yellow.
Anything but a yellow Ford Focus.
Like, because here's the thing. If you're even on the run from the cops, it's a yellow Ford Focus.
You're like, okay, there's exactly one of those.
And we know Scott owns it. Idiot. I want a dash cam at some point, though. I haven't installed one, but that's something I've been thinking about adding to my car.
Why?
I don't know. I watch all these. Like, I feel like I watch a lot of videos on the internet, and I see dash cam videos, and I'm like, what if something cool happens? And I have nobody will believe me, right?
Oh, so you want it facing out.
Oh, not in.
Oh, I thought you wanted facing in.
No,
so
no, dash cam's face out, man.
Film yourself singing in the car.
Do the James Corden.
Is it James Corden with just no James Corden or celebrity talent? Yeah.
So why is this guy way less talented and way fatter than James Corden?
Well, James Corden really let himself go. So a Florida woman is accused of trying to fly home from California with 3 suitcases worth of pot.
I'm mad at this.
Celeste Dorsey, 25, was arrested at the Tallahassee International Airport when she picked up 3 suitcases from the luggage carousel, which Tallahassee police say each contained 21 individually wrapped packages of weed. She faces charges of trafficking in marijuana, possession of paraphernalia. Tallahassee police dogs alerted to the luggage after it was removed from the plane. Final exams tested positive for cannabis. Dorsey told police the pot wasn't hers.
Three. I don't know how.
I don't know how 21 individually packages got into each of my three suitcases.
This was all underwear.
This is weird.
Yeah.
She indicated if any contraband is inside her luggage, that it was placed inside by airport personnel. Because normally somebody has, you know, 63 individually wrapped packages of cannabis, and what they want to do is put it in a rando suitcase.
Yeah.
Dorsey and a man who was not arrested deported the plane and grabbed the luggage when they were spotted and busted.
If they paid for it legally in California, I've got no problem with this. It's kind of ridiculous that there are, you know, we've got a good handful of states where marijuana is now legal and that it's a felony in other states.
Yeah, can we just agree that, like, weed's not what we need to be worried about?
Yeah.
Like, it's just not.
Like, we
it's
should,
fine.
We should, we the world we live in today, weed really
is not at the top
totem
of the list.
Pole of problems.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Once the opioid crisis exploded, weed all of a sudden became a distant, not even like a distant second or third or fifth. It's like 10th on the list of things that you should be worried about.
You know, at the height of the opioid crisis, 100,000 Americans were dying every single year.
That's like, unbelievable.
How crazy is that? They have it just came out the other day, a couple days ago. There's a like a map that you can track how many pills per person were coming into your town.
That's
and
insane.
It is unbelievable. Like, when you see the actual number, how many billions of opioid pills, basically heroin, just killing people, and how the drug companies kept it quiet for so many years. So yeah, weed, let's just, you know, Let people go buy some Doritos and enjoy their evening.
Enjoy their Netflix. Yeah. And finally, a store clerk in Oregon told police that a suspect came into the store in the middle of the night last week, grabbed about a half a package of cookies and didn't pay.
Hell no.
By the time the Forest Grove police arrived at the convenience store, the man that they were looking for had already left. All that they knew is that he was wearing a Cookie Monster shirt.
Oh, a chocolate chip cookie.
Can you imagine being the guy that got the voiceover gig for Cookie Monster? Like, what a weird job that is. Just,
oh, a chocolate chip cookie.
Why would you only steal half a package? If you're going to steal cookies, just take the whole thing. They're not going to go lenient on you. They're not going to go easy on you if you only I only took half.
The trail went cold initially because they couldn't find the guy.
Do they follow crumbs?
Investigators caught a break the next day when the suspect went to police headquarters to confess. The unidentified man told police that he had taken a cookie without paying but claimed it was all a misunderstanding. Officers weren't buying it and gave him a citation for third-degree theft. He turned himself in.
Oh, a chocolate chip cookie.
He was wearing a Cookie Monster shirt when he stole the cookies.
Is that the misunderstanding? Like, I don't get that.
You get a pass if you wear a Cookie Monster shirt.
I feel like if you go and
cookies.
You turn yourself in and you're saying you're willing to pay for it, you shouldn't get a citation, right?
Maybe or not. Maybe just don't turn yourself in, you idiot.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm wondering who Mahoney would book his talent if he had a circus. And he gets to choose the act. You know, animals are required, but there needs to be entertainment. You know, would one act just be like the crowd watching Mahoney eat a sandwich?
Message deleted.
I don't know if I would book myself as a circus freak. I'm not really...
You could get some implants and be the bearded lady.
I don't feel like that's shocking anymore. There's just really... I feel like the circus of old, the freak show, that has kind of gone... gone away as it should have. I like the modern circus shows. I think they do an amazing job. The acrobatics is unlike anything we've ever, you know, seen in years past.
What's your favorite show in town?
My favorite show here in Vegas is... Probably it's either Ka or O.
Oh, really? See, Absinthe for me.
I mean, I'm thought you're you. Saying like with oh, as far as I thought talking Cirque show.
Well, yeah,
Absinthe is my favorite show.
Yeah, yeah.
But so that takes on a whole different level.
Kind of. I mean, like, it mixes a lot of that Cirque type stuff,
yeah.
But it also is irreverent and it's funny. And if you haven't seen Absinthe, like, that's whenever people are coming to town, they're like, "What show should I see?" Absinthe every time.
I agree, unless they are
if they're a little older, a little more prudish, you know, well, it's like
they're easily offended.
You should go to a classy affair. Like, Oh, really? Is a great show. Yeah. Mystère over at Treasure Island.
All of them.
There's so many great ones.
Or what? Michael Jackson. I haven't seen Michael Jackson.
Have you seen Chris Angel's new show?
I have not. It's not.
He finally cut
anymore,
his hair.
Right?
I couldn't support him when he had that douchey haircut, but he cut it. So maybe I'll go see it.
Everybody does it, Dave. Metallica did it.
They sold out. Do you remember that whole thing?
So
how dumb. Like, everyone's like, mad. Metallica sold out because they cut their hair. Like, why are you concerned about another dude's hair, you loser? Jesus.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Okay, I know that Ian is an avid vinyl collector. He's a vinyl collector because he's a hipster. So my question is, Dave or Mahoney, do you think either of you would jump onto the vinyl train to start collecting vinyl, or is that something that doesn't interest you?
Message deleted.
0% chance for me.
Zero. My dad has tons of vinyl that he's been trying to give me. I just don't. And the reason he doesn't want it, because he has everything on his phone.
Oh, and it takes up a ton of space. I mean, I don't understand, I guess, the appeal of it. With me and music, I don't want to be hassled. I don't want to be inconvenienced. Like, I remember when iPods first came out, I was all motivated. I'm like, I'm going to make a playlist for everything, everywhere I go. Even the short drives to work, I'm going to have a playlist. My long drives, I'm going to the beach, I have a beach playlist. I'm going to the mountains, I have a mountain playlist. It's just too much, man. Like, I just want to be able to click one button and listen to something entertaining and or fun or good music, and that's it.
If I were a single man living in a urban area.
If you were living in downtown Chicago or New York or something.
New York, San Francisco,
sure.
Seattle, something like that. And like I had it, and it was like there was exposed brick.
Exposed brick, and you have to have your window open with a slight breeze coming in.
Yes.
You put the vinyl on, you have a nice glass of scotch, and you sit there alone and softly weep.
I still wouldn't put it on then. I would put it on like when I would be entertaining guests.
Oh, but see, then the problem is when it runs out. Like, you know what's better? A playlist.
No, I agree.
On shuffle.
You're preaching to the choir here, man. I like high fidelity when it comes to my music. I do. But I'm not one of these purists who are like, oh, it's got a warmth to it. The processing that you get now, like MP3s, and like if you're getting your music from, you know, a streaming service or you're getting it online, the quality's pretty good
it's
now.
It's fine. It's fine.
You get the general.
I'm just not
concept.
That much of
like,
a purist.
Because you don't hear the hi hat, doesn't mean, you know, or it's a little muddled.
Does anyone ever really need to hear the hi hats?
It's muddled. The hi hat's muddled.
Shut up.
Please leave a message after
it's not
the tone.
Warm enough.
Hey, Mahoney, you look more like a Tony. Not really bony, but as big as a pony. He loves meat, so it's Chris Hansen says, take a seat.
Message deleted.
All right, let's just stop with the Mahoney poems.
Yeah, let's keep them going, man.
That one wasn't
even
good.
The more Mahoney poems, the better.
The first one was beautiful. That one was not good.
We could start calling you Pomony.
Pomony?
Pomony, yeah.
That's my,
sounds like a spread.
Yeah, it does.
I'll take a Pomony sandwich, please.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
I was going
to
say Pomony is my furry name when I dress up as a My Little Pony and engage in adult hacks.
Oh, ugh. Why is that pony so sweaty? Did it? It pooped on the floor. It just pooped on the floor. Beer for breakfast is next.
All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast.
Ah, yes. Here we are again.
All I want to eat is them barbecue chips.
A Friday morning.
All I want is someone just to try to protect us.
A long, hard week worked.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Worked our butts off this week.
And the sweet liquid reward that we get to treat ourselves to every single Friday here at the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Beer for breakfast is back.
Well, and today we have ourselves a doozy, my friend. It is a double IPA, right?
Yes, sir. This is today we are featuring the Alaskan Brewing Company's Galaxy Smash Double IPA. I am just excited to have our beer back. And to be drinking it here with you guys today.
There is something special about having a beer on a Friday with some good friends.
It really is.
And then, you know, it's fine if it's with some coworkers too.
Yeah, that's right.
After work, I'm going to have a beer with some good friends.
Okay. Well then, the Galaxy Smash Double IPA has 8.5% alcohol by volume and 86 IBUs. It's being served from a 12-ounce brown bottle with a nice space-themed purple and green label. Looks a little bit like the Northern Lights right there. This was originally released as a special release in the one of the Alaskan brew pubs in April of 2016, and it was kind of a one-off until 2018 when they decided to bump it up to a year-round offering. It's priced at $11.99 per six-pack, so very reasonably priced. And you hear that number, the 8.5% ABV, high alcohol in this one, and you hear the even higher 86 IBUs, but don't let that scare you away, and we will talk about that when we get to taste that, which is one of the five categories in Beer for Breakfast, which consists of look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. Let's all take a drink. Let's just, you know, cheers. Let's cheers each other. And,
cheers.
You know.
Cheers.
Very first category in Beer for Breakfast is the look. Dave, tell me what you're looking at.
It is a, I mean, hoppy, sure, but that's more in the taste. It is super carbonated.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just bubbles running all over the place.
Yeah.
It is a very active-looking beer.
The Hulkamania is running wild on you with that carbonation, that is for sure.
Yeah, but otherwise, you know, it's got the kind of that standard, you know, golden color to it. It looks like a nice, clean beer, but it's just there's bubbles all over the place.
Yeah, it is a little bit hazy, though.
A little hazy.
That's the thing. I had one of these.
It looks hazier in your glass than it does in mine.
My glass is probably, I got better light over here. That's why I'm holding up to a direct light source, which I always recommend doing. I had one of these last night, and there was a lot of floaties in there. Not
really?
As many as in this one. Uh-oh. In front of me, but it's interesting, you know, because you got to remember the consistency of beer as they make it. It's still made by people each time, you know. The beer just doesn't, you turn on a faucet and it magically pours. Somebody has to make it.
Yep.
Somebody has to make it. The look for me, it pours a somewhat cloudy golden yellow with the big three fingers, a frothy, fizzy white head.
Yeah.
Trace amounts of sticky lacing down the side of my glass. If you, you see lots of fine carbonation when you look through that cloudiness. Overall, it's a very good-looking beer. The next category in Beer for Breakfast is the smell. And for me, I don't know if you're getting anything different. The nose just really isn't huge. There's a light smattering of citrus in there, a little bit of hops, but overall, it's not pungent.
Yeah, and you'd think with all that alcohol and all that bitterness that they're talking about and the IBUs that you'd have a big nose to it. But no, it's like a slight sweetness to it.
It's a very tame nose. And one of the interesting things about this beer, the Galaxy Smash, they make it with one hop, obviously the Galaxy hop, which is I'm a big fan of that one. They've been using that more and more lately. And they also use a Pilsner malt in this. So one hop, one malt is all they use to make this beer. Like I said, the nose, it's not outrageous.
Doesn't blow you away. Yep.
Yeah, not at all. Let's move on to the taste and take another big drink of the Alaskan Brewing Company's Galaxy Smash Double IPA.
Stop that.
Tell me what you're the big guy. I love IPAs. You love IPAs, but on the show you are the other biggest IPA fan. What are your initial thoughts of the taste of this?
So it's got a punch to it, right? Like it definitely has a bit of a punch to it, and it really does linger on your tongue. So like when you take a drink of an IPA, if you don't like the hop taste, if you don't like the bitterness, you're probably not going to like this beer. But it's not overly bitter.
No, it is not.
It's pretty muted.
Yes,
it just hangs out, which is what makes it seem more bitter than it actually is, I think.
I think the 86 IBU scares a lot of people, but there's a difference between bitterness and perceived bitterness. And I think the perceived bitterness, which is what you and I are tasting, it's not nearly. It's balanced out by the malts really nicely. Ian, is this one that you like, or is this something that you would pass on if it came across your desk again?
I feel like, to be honest with you, this is a very slow sipper for me. This is not
okay,
one.
Really?
I do really like this, and the reason I like it is because, again, the bitterness does not hit you initially. It's almost like lighter on the first sip, but then you really get those
because
hops on the back.
Because it hangs out as you take more drinks, it just seems ever present. I think it's actually pretty crushable.
Yeah.
Considering 8.5%
Like this is an interesting double IPA, and I like the approach that they took with the single malt, single hop. It gives it an interesting balance, but it's balanced nicely. Those two things. The first drink of the Alaskan Brewing Company's Galaxy Smash, I think, is very welcoming and almost fun. It feels like there's like a dance being done between the carbonation and the hops in your mouth, kind of like almost like stars exploding. Now, even though it's not like that dramatic.
That's a little dramatic, yeah.
But I feel like you can feel like your taste buds firing off because it is that bitterness that even though it's not ridiculous, it's there. That piney bite is dancing across your tongue with that carbonation. I really like.
Did you take some LSD before this review?
No, I did not. Dancing,
the hops are dancing across my tongue. They're doing cogwheels. Oh, one did a flip. Stuck it.
Let the beer sit in your mouth for a second, but I think it's a solid Pilsner malt that they use in this as a base, and it interacts nicely with the Galaxy hops, and it gives it a very refreshing feel. There's a present pininess that does stick around for a while after each drink, but I think this is a refreshing double IPA, which is hard to say. There's not a lot of refreshing double IPAs out there. The mouthfeel, this is very medium. I would almost call this, it's got a rich flavor to it, and just refreshing overall. The drinkability overall, I didn't have huge expectations going into this beer, but was really surprised with this double IPA from Alaskan Brewing. It's available year-round. It's all over the country. It's priced nicely. 8.5%, a six-pack for $11.99. Woo! You get three of these in, and you're going to feel good.
Feel real good.
For $5.
Pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's a good bang for your buck. And overall, it's just a damn good beer that's easy to drink.
Yeah, I do think that you need to like IPAs in order to enjoy this.
Yes, this isn't a gateway IPA, but this could be a gateway double IPA.
Sure.
You know, if you're looking to step up, if you're going from some of those super, super crushable things like Stones, Ripper, or things like that, I feel like this is a next logical step.
And if you want to, get a little saucy, but you don't want to advertise it, 8.5%, you're like, baby, I only had three beers.
Come here, dance with me.
Can I get a drum roll, please?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy, I give the Alaskan Brewing Company's Galaxy Smash double IPA a 4 out of 5 on Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy.
Here for breakfast with Dave and Mahoney every Friday morning on X107.5.
Did I say Beer Scale Supremacy twice?
Yes, you did.
You did.
Sorry.
You did. It's 8.5%. It's fine.
8.5%,
man. It's fine.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right, here is today's question for Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
Nate the Bomb Tenenbaum.
One of the finest meteorologists and broadcasters this fine city has ever seen.
And you'd ask him how he's doing. You're like, hey, man, how's it going? And he would always say every time, mostly blank. So Nate the Bomb Tenenbaum, great broadcaster, good friend of the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Used to be here every single day because he would do weather and news reporting for one of our sister stations, KXNT. And so we'd see him in the hallway every day, and you'd always say, how you doing, Nate? And he always had this exact same answer, mostly blank.
I loved it.
702-791-1075 is the phone number. Every day you felt like you were getting taken to school by Nate Tenenbaum. Because you asked the same question.
And he worked with us for a couple of years. That was what, 2 years? Oh, 2 or 3 years? Yep. Something like that. Yeah. And every day, had a bow tie. Sharp as hell.
Have you ever seen Nate the Bomb Tenenbaum without a bow tie?
I don't think Nate the Bomb Tenenbaum could exist without a bow tie. I think
if he takes the bow tie off, his head falls off.
His head would float off. It's holding on there.
So being held on by only that bow tie. This is a headless horseman. Who knew? Pair of tickets for the neighborhood. They're playing over at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan on Friday, October the 11th. Tickets on sale at CosmopolitanLasVegas.com, but your chance to win them for free if you are the first person in with the correct answer. X107.5, good morning. What is your name?
Kyle,
what is the correct answer?
It's mostly sunny.
Mostly sunny. You're the best around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down. You're the best around. Do you have anyone like that that's that chipper and happy in the morning? That works in your office?
No, I couldn't do it.
Not a single one.
I'd quit.
Congratulations to you, man. Enjoy your weekend, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me. It's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best. see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.